Now, the reason I want you to understand this, I want to show you something in Scripture. He says in verse 8, he said, "For this thing I sought Yahweh three times, that he might, or that it might depart from me, that this thing that was impeding me, that this thing would be taken away. And he said to me, that my free unmerited ahava, my love and my favor, is sufficient for you." Now that's what Yahweh is trying to convey to this generation. That you did not do anything to earn his love. But he loves you. And his favor. He says free. He says, so that is sufficient for you. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Shaul said, therefore, I'd rather boast. Now this is what he said. In my infirmities, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of HaMashiach may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, and injury. That's what he was saying. I take pleasure in that. He said, I take also a great pleasure in the necessities, that I'm distressed, I'm perplexed. He said, I take it in that persecution. They annoy me, or these things try me very hard. He said, also in distress, in dire calamity, in extreme affliction. Now that's what distress is. He said, for HaMashiach's sake, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. What? How can that be, Shaul? Because the strength of Yahweh's Torah truth gives me great confidence and assurance that the message and the words of HaMashiach, it has great validity. It is the truth. So I take great delight in these things. In my infirmities, in my necessities, in my distress, in my trials, in my perplexities, I take great delight in that because I know that the strength of Almighty Yahweh in this very person of Yahshua HaMashiach, it works visibly in me. And I can thank him. I can rejoice in that. This is not a generation that does that. That's why we're looking for everything to soothe just a little smallness of ache or pain. We have no confidence in Yahweh. We have no prayer life, and so the bare aspirin takes you away from prayer. So the modem takes you away from prayer. And everything you're trying to seek to alleviate you, it takes you away from the prayer of Yahweh. It takes you away from confessing your sins. It takes you away from confessing your faults and showing your sins. That is why the sin offering was made once a year. They had to come to the high Kohen and make the sacrifice for the sin offerings. And the sin offering was a confession of one sin. And so we don't do that today. You don't confess your faults one to another. Because we're very arrogant. We're full of pride. We're a very ignorant generation. We think we know, but we do not know. We think we have understanding. We have no understanding. We think we have life in us, we have no life. None whatsoever. It's a generation of stupidity. And I say without any apology at all. He goes on to say, he says, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. Now, I want to define this word infirmity. I want to enunciate it in the Greek form. Asthenia. Asthenia. It says this. Now, because I want you to understand the infirmities now. Weakness, disease, sickness, want of strength, weakness, infirmity of body, weakness and fragile, feebleness of health or sickness or of soul, want of strength and capacity to understand a thing, to restrain corrupt desires, to bear trials and trouble. Now that is that is what that word, athenia, infirmities, imply. Now I do believe it was a physical sickness because Shaul dealt with his infirmities all the time. Now this is a mighty man now that declares unto us the whole counsel of Yahweh. He declares unto us the entire counsel. And you cannot have counsel without the Torah. How do you think you're going to have counsel without the Torah? How do you think you're going to have light without the Torah? How do you think you're going to have understanding without the Torah? Tell me. You cannot have understanding without the Torah. Because you must be getting the Bereshit of all things, the Genesis of all things. So how can you have understanding without that? cannot have understanding without the Torah. And so Shaul, as he declared unto us the whole counsel of Yahweh, it is his law to govern us, it is his statutes, his ordinance to instruct us, to show us our limitations. That is what the Torah does. Messiah did not destroy that. Neither did Shaul. Now Christendom has destroyed it. It has destroyed it. It has eradicated it. It says it has no value at all. None whatsoever. But that is a lie, because it does possess the great essentials of Yahweh. And what is going to take for us to go into the kingdom? We're not going any other way. Now look at what Shaul says unto the saints of Galatia, to the Kiddushim. He says in Galatia chapter 4 verse 12. He says, brothers, he says, I beg you, or I beseech you, I beg you. Galatia chapter 4 verse 12. I beg you. Be as I am. Now he tells you that. He says, I want you to be as I am. This is a rebellious generation. It's an arrogant one. It's one that has no love for Yahweh. He says, I want you to be like me. Now someone says that, you would think, who do you think you are? But that's what he told them, didn't he? I want to be like him now. He says, be as I am. For I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You have not done me any wrong. He said, you know that through infirmities of the flesh, I preached the message to you at the first. He said, you know I was sick. I was broken. He said, I had infirmities. I was weak. I didn't tell you that because I didn't want to injure you. I didn't want to put nothing else on you. He said, I was weak. I had infirmities. I had a disease in my body. He said, but I still preached the message. I preached the hope. The Torah was visible in my life. He said, and my temptation which was in my flesh, you despise not. Now, it had to be something that was visible. He said, my temptation, my trial, my weakness in my flesh, you did not reject me because of that. That's what he said here. My temptation, that trial, that thing, you did not despise it. You did not despise me because of that. He said, nor reject it. You did not say I was not a man of Yahweh. He said, you didn't reject me. He said, you will receive me as a Malach of Yahweh, even as Yahshua HaMashiach. He said, you receive me with great reverence, with great love. Can I tell you how this generation is? And as some of you that think like this, you're ignorant, you're stupid. And I say this, you will see a brother or sister do something that happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and you never forget that. When you said you did, I've heard some say that. I say, my, what kind of childish mindset? How pitiful. How sad. What kind of mind? They say they love, they don't even love a God. But I watch people do that. I watch them say, man, is this what I'm hearing? Are these adults? Is this a man? Is this a woman? And Shaul said, even though all of my infirmities, you did not reject me. Even though my weakness, whether it was weakness in my approach, weakness in my words, weakness of words that offend, he said, you didn't reject me. You said, receive me as one that you knew came from Yahweh. Listen here. He said, where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Somewhere Paul, Shaul was, he was in a great derision. He said, because you had such great love for me. It's wonderful to have that kind of love shown towards you. He said, you have such great love for me, you would have plucked out your eyes for me and given me everything. You would have given me your strength. He said, that's how much you care for me. This is not a generation that's like that. Come on, look at your neighbor. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, am I like that? Come on. Look at someone else and say, am I like that? Look. Huh? We don't have that in us, do we? No, you don't have that in you. And see, we're not honest enough to just say, help me, Yahweh. I need help. For some reason, we think we're going to just skate through, but you're not going to skate through. Not with this preacher. You may find you someone else that will rock you and lull you away, but I'm not going to do it. Hallelujah, way. Because you're always going to show you what's in you. He said, you would give me your eyes if you could. You won't even give a brother or sister a blessing. You won't even give a brother or sister a kind deed. You won't even give a brother or sister a helping hand. You won't even do that. Shall and weak. Such an effeminate generation. That's why David said, Solomon, be you like a man.
Be filled with Ruah. Yeah, I'm going to be like a man, not like a boy. Hallelujah, Yahweh. He said, you would have done those things for me. He said, and I there, he said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, at what time you would do all these things for me? Now, all of a sudden, you've been turned away from truth. What has bewitched you that you've been turned away from the truth? What is the truth, Yahweh's Torah? He said, what is it? He said, now, have I become your enemy now? Now, when I first came to you preaching, you would do anything for me. Oh, I love you, Pastor. Oh, you're mad at God. All of a sudden, now, have I become your enemy because now I reveal unto you the Torah, the truth of Yahweh? So that's what Yahweh said. Have I become your enemy? You would do anything it was for me. If I needed shoes, you would buy them. If I needed something to eat, you would cook for me. Now have I become your enemy because I tell you what's in your heart? Because I tell you the state of your mind? Because I assure you that. As Yahweh said, that Yahweh delivered me unto you, I was weak. I was sickly. My physical appearance, it did not personify that I had the power of Yahweh. And yet you received me. As though I was one that Yahweh had dispensed from the Shemayam to deliver unto you the profound truth of Yahweh. You acknowledge me as being one that is enlightened by the power of Yahweh as a messenger, as a Malach of the Shemayam. And now all of a sudden I began to dig into the root cause of your problems and show you what things are taking place. That I become your enemy now. I'm doing things wrong. I'm not right. Nor is your damned of a wicked heart. It's your own corruption, it's your own sinful wicked ways, because you reject Torah teaching. You reject the Torah of Yahweh. Now I'm reading this to show you that Shaul had problems, didn't he? He had problems in his flesh. And yet he was still the man that Yahweh sent to the nations of the world to declare the power of his Torah. You understand? He did. Did he have power to heal? Sure he did. He goes on to say, look at this in Matitiyah. Now I want to show you this, because the power of Yahweh, it is not something that that is for the moment. It is the power that when Yahweh does something, when he calls one to be healed of the infirmities, they're healed. It says in Matitiyah chapter 8 verse 14, when Yahshua came into Kephar's mother's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered, or she took care of them, their needs. When the eve was come, they brought to him, look at this now, many that were possessed. First of all, there were those that possessed of demons, devils, and he cast the spirits out with his word. That's all he did. Just come out. Didn't have to lay hands, just say come out. He healed all that were sick. And he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Yeshaya, the prophet saying, himself he took our infirmities, and he bore our sickness, our noas, our diseases, is what HaMashiach bore. He carried them in that body. He bore our sickness. He did, brothers and sisters. This is a sick nation. We are sick. We're sick in our corruption and our sins. We're sick in our own deceit and our own lies. We're sick. And a sick person doesn't know when they don't even know how to respond when they feel good or feel a little better. There are people that have been so sick that they don't even know how to get up and move. It's something how that when you're not feeling good, if you take a bath, it always tends to make you feel a little better, doesn't it? It's almost like a washing process. Cleanse your pores. Get all that old filth off of your body. It makes you feel better, doesn't it? I know it does for me. And that's what Yahweh must do with His Word. He must wash us in His Word. And that's what we need. We need a good thorough bath. It is one thing about your own nakedness. Nobody see your nakedness like you. Is that right? Nobody see that lump over there like you but you. Nobody see, you look at that, you say, man, nobody sees it like you. You say what you want to. Not wife, not husband, not children, no, nobody sees it like you do. And just the way you see your own physical body, that's where we look at our spiritual life too. You all hear that? Oh, you put on some clothes, you think you look good, you think, look at me, I know how to take it off, and you'll see what you look like. That's the real identity. Them lumps and curves and bumps and them hoops and them humps, there. Yeah, I'm saying it's straightforward. I don't care how small they are, what is this, still the same thing. You will see what you literally look like. See, you can amass, you can put on a mask and pretend you're one way, but it's not the truth. Hallelujah, way. The Torah will find you out. His truth will find you out. When you get naked to take a bath, you don't have on nothing, do you? So it shows you everything, doesn't it? You look at that and say, my, what a mess. Sure you do. Hallelujah. Well, you don't like that, don't like that. Wish that was a portion of it, appropriate. So even in our physical daily lives, he show us the state of our spiritual lives when we look at ourselves, because that's what you're looking at. You're actually looking at you. But you're not as critical on you when you see that mess like you are when you think you see mess in a brother or sister, are you? You're not as critical. It's nothing like when being arrogant, think they look good and they really don't look. They ain't got nothing. There's a mess there. I see men out there, boy, you couldn't tell them nothing, boy. I watched a man out there in the store. I just looked at him. I stood behind him. I said, man, what a sad thing. He's just pitiful. He had a plait down his back. He's probably about 55 years old. You could tell it was a false plait. It wasn't real. And I'm sitting there looking at the man. He got rings on fingers and his gut is bigger than mine. His gut out like that. Got on a little gold shirt. Arms flat as they come. And I'm looking at this man. I'm looking like, man, come on. Cover yourself. You look a mess. And I'm looking at what he's buying to eat. I said, man, he's about the kind of mess he is. What he's putting in him. And that's where we are. That's what we eat, those little dainties, the sweet lies. Girl, you look good. No, you don't look good. Boy, look at you. You look of you fine thing. No, you're not. Lies. All flesh stinks. I use that analogy. So what you say in your physical look, that's what you look like, really. That's what we look like. And that's not probably, you may find one or two that think, well, I look good. Well, you don't. Period. You know, even the women that they put in these magazines, do you understand? You think they look like that when they put them in there? First of all, they starve themselves for weeks. Then they brush paint them up. And so fools say, man, look at that. You think that's what they look like? You're as stupid as you come. I remember this one news reporter, I forgot her name. She took pictures. She wasn't naked. She said, I want people to just see what I look like. She said, my big fat belly, and it hangs like that. I want them to see that little thing to hang on like that. And I want them to see this part. I want them to see that. Because this is actually what I am. We don't want to see actually what we are. And that's what the Torah does. And that's why the enemy is removing that. And so what does he replace that with? He replaced it with these lying miracles and these false miracles and raising up these charlatans, brothers and sisters. The Torah is a reflection of what you are. It shows you what's in your heart. You can't know what's in you without that. There must be stipulations to show you what's wrong and right. And so, well, the way you see yourself physically, that's the way you are. Hallelujah, way. That's just it. Period. That's the way you are. No doubt about that. And we must deal with that. We must deal with that. So Shaul, all these infirmities he had, he said, but it did not stop me from declaring the truth unto you. This is so important. I want you to please hear this, brothers and sisters. He goes on to say, look at this now. I want you to see this. Now, this same man was sick, right? But look at what he's done. Now, if Shaul, this man ordained of Yahweh to carry out a great mission, look at this in the book of Acts, Elishiam, Ma'ashi. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. This is the only man that this word is used in. Nobody else. It says in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, and Yahweh worked special miracles. Nowhere in Scripture where that's used. Nowhere else. Please show me that. Help me find it. And Yahweh worked special miracles by the hands of Shaul. Do you hear that? So that from his body was brought forth to the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the disease depart from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. That he had such, Yahweh did such a wonderful thing with this man. Do you all hear this? That actually the handkerchiefs, it just says anything to touch him, it was laid on those that were sick and they were healed. I believe that. Profound power of Yahweh. And yet here's a man with great infirmities. As Scripture, if you read the epistles or the letters of Shaul, he talks about his infirmities in many parts of Scripture. He said, I came to you, I had great infirmities. I was sick. I was hurting. My physical body didn't look as well. And you tell me that Yahweh didn't have the power to heal him? You tell me, if I was sick, I certainly wouldn't want to be with a man like Shaul, wouldn't you? Would you not want to be with a man like that that has the ability to cut a little piece of cloth and say, send out the sister Robinson, her leg is going to straighten out? If he was in Egypt, I'll go find him and give me the piece of cloth. I'll bring it back and lay it on her leg. Do you understand that? Yahweh wants us to trust in him. This is a wicked generation. He is raising up these men of darkness, and they're working by the power of deception. I'm telling you that, Sage. This work is not of Yahweh. They call themselves casting out demons, and the folks are worse than what they were. Every time some show to come through, they got to get a demon cast out. No Baptist casting out demons. No Pentecostals casting out nothing. It's nothing but a hypnotic shaman state. When folks are consuming that shamanism, they're hypnotic. I've seen pictures of them. I've seen them when I watch television. The eyes roll back. I've seen things cry out of people. I've seen that. Sure I have. You go down to these islands like Jamaica and Haiti, you will see some works down there. When that old man comes, when that old shaman comes into the house, he comes in, he got his stuff born, he looks crazy too. When he gets to sprinkling around that house, he gets to walking around there, and there have been those that have been raised up from their sickness by men like that. He gets to walk around that, he breaks out his chicken bones, he breaks out his rattlesnake bones, and he began to, his little incantation. He began to shake his little stomach, he began to throw his dust around the place. And they began to holler like these folks in these shaman whorehouses. That's how they holler. That's how they do it. You begin to hear these sounds coming out like no other sounds. I've watched it. I've seen that. You begin to watch these, the bodies, the contortion of the body, the facial expression. You're going to replace it. This laughing thing with this runny brown, these demonic power, they went there for healings and cleansing, and yet this is of hell. I know it's of hell because they love money. I was reading an article about the car that Benny Hinn rides, $80,000 Mercedes-Benz. The man said when he flipped out his cellular telephone, it had the emblem of the Mercedes-Benz. You buy a car like that, they give you other little amenities with that. He's building about a $6 million house for his pleasure to live and to play. They love money. They love money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. They're evil men. They have the spirits of devils in them. And these little small fries that take on the same nature as these men, trying to do like them and say they're casting out demons, they're not casting out nothing. What Hamashiach told those Shalishim, those apostles, they went and they did that. And you see, as the assembly, as those began to turn away from the Torah, they fell into an apostate nature. And you began to see the mighty power of Yahweh dry up. That's what you see. And what Yahweh commands us today to live, but just trust me. Trust me. Even, I don't care what the situation is, I want you to trust me. How do I know? Because Scripture shows me that. Let me go on and read. Now this same Shaul, those that were sick, they had handkerchiefs laid on them. They had the power of Yahweh. Now this same man, look at that now. We see what the spiritual miracles done by him. There's no one as Kephar, Thomas, not any of them had miracles like that done by them. But yet Yahweh chose Shaul to work special miracles. Now look at this situation here in Timothy, in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Was Timothy a mighty man of Yahweh? He had a grandmama that was a very powerful woman. Now look what he instructs him in. Now look at this now. I want you to hear this. He says in 1 Timothy 5:20, look what Shaul says. He said, them that sin you rebuke before all. He said, those elders that get out of place, you rebuke to show that Yahweh has no respect of person. I don't care if it's an elder who. He said, you rebuke before all that others may fear, and they will know that you're a mighty man of Yahweh. He said, I charge you before Yahweh and the master Yahshua HaMashiach and the elect Melechim that you observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing without partiality. He said, you do it right. I don't care who it is. You do it without partiality. Now, there are some of you that are weak. Then I tend to spare you even in this house. There are some of you sisters that are very weak. There are some of you brothers that are weak. You cannot endure anything. You're very shallow and you're very weak, and that's sad. The weak ought to say that I'm strong. I have to bear up the infirmities of the weak. The strong will do that. Let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Hallelujah. Way. Some of you, your feelings are so papier-mâché and you're so shallow. And that's the truth. Hallelujah. Way. He said, now you observe to do all these things that I command you. He said, lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be a partaker of another man, other men sin. He said, keep yourself pure, Timotheus. That he had a great heart for Timotheus. Look what he says to him. He said, also now, I've heard about your sickness. He said, drink no longer water. He said, but a little wine for your stomach's sake. And for your, what? Your what? Your what now? Now, what was Shaul telling him? That the only thing to do is send him a little piece of cloth. Come on, brothers and sisters. Did Timothy have a demon? He said, drink a little wine, because I know you have often infirmities. I know how your body is. I know the sickness. I know how I don't know what Timothy had, but he had often infirmities. He said, take a little wine for that. Maybe it'd been ulcer, worrying with them hard-headed people. Who knows what it was? He said, but don't always drink that water because, you know, I know it's good for you, but take a little wine, the little chemicals in the wine, they'll help you. For your often infirmities, your sicknesses, your weakness, your inability. Believe me, wine is not going to make you strong now. Not in the physical sense. If you're weak, there was something that Timotheus was going through that Shaul instructed him to drink a little wine because I know what your infirmities are like because I've gone through them. Did we not see where Yahweh did special miracles with Shaul? And so these liars today, the Hagans, the Hens, and all of them, they were set under every kind of surgery procedures, like Oral Roberts, Richard Roberts, and all of them. They were set under all those kinds of things. And they will tell you that if you are sick, that it's not of their God. You don't see the hypocrisy in that. Shaul did not tell Timotheus that. He said, I know you're sick, my brother. Drink of the wine. That'll help your belly sometimes. That's what he told him. Is that what it says in the book you got? Is that what it says in the book you got? Does it say something else? Was he talking to Timotheus? He was talking to that man. That was a personal letter. And he shared it with the congregation. It was a letter to that brother. He was a brother. And he loved him. He said, drink a little wine for your often infirmities. Hallelujah, away. That's what he said. Well, drink a little bit of that, whatever, cat vein tea or whatever. For your body to help clean you out. That's your problem. You need to get your colon clean. You need to clean yourself out. What is that stuff we drink? What is that stuff for the Cena? Get some of that tea and drink a little bit of that. Get a tea bag. Drink a little bit of that sometime for your orphan infirmity sakes. For your custody. That's your problem. Your problem because you got the toxicities in you. This evil generation is wicked. It's an adulterous generation. It's looking for signs. Do you hear me? But it's not looking for Torah truth. It loves signs and little things that mesmerize the mind, but it doesn't love Torah. It doesn't love truth. It is not the signs that make you free. It's the Torah that makes you free. And you shall know the truth of the Torah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What truth was he talking about? Yahweh is from everlasting, and his Torah, his law, his Torah, his discipline, his government is the truth. And you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. So he tells his brother, now this is the same Shaul, were there special miracles done by him? That the handkerchiefs of his body were laying on others and they were healed. Now all they had to do was just send it. Come on, man. Send him a piece of rag. Send him a piece of cloth. All they had to do was speak the words. Do you think he prayed for Timothy for that? Do you think he prayed for Timothy for that? Come on, brothers and sisters. Do you think he prayed for Timothy for that? That time that I'm hurting, I say, why pray for me? What's wrong? Just pray. I tell you, little daughter, see, I want them to pray because their prayer is childlike. It's simple. They pray for me, Yahweh, help Pastor Roberts. Don't let him do wicked. I say, yes, help me, Yahweh. Keep his heart right. Don't let the wickedness, that's how they pray for me. That's all right by me. I like that. Heal him, touch his body, touch his mind. Don't let his heart be so wicked and so mean and so nasty. That's how they pray. Always make him pray for me. Or someone began to pray for you like that. I'm not that. That's the way you are. You deal with the sin issue. You don't want to deal with that. But that's not me. That's the way you are. You're hateful. You're wicked. You're not cordial. You have no personality. No whatsoever. You may have personality around those that you like and you know, but that's no personality. When someone has a personality, anyone is intrigued by the personality. Then the story we hear about Annie Green Gable, about everybody, the old and the young liked her. I don't care if you're young, if you got a personality. Even old people like you. They delight in a young person that has a beautiful personality. And you don't even find that among us, among our young ones, among you old ones. You don't have nothing like that. You kid yourself around those that you know because they're not honest enough to tell you the truth. But I will tell you the truth. No person out today. You want friends? Show yourself friendly.
Hallelujah. That's the truth. You don't want no friend to show yourself nasty. That's how you do it. I don't care who it is. The problem is in you. Is that in someone else? You don't want to deal with that. It's in you. I don't care if these little knucklehead girls, some of them right here get upset with me because they don't want... That doesn't bother me. That won't be at all. They have no personality here. They don't have any personality out there. Mama, you have no personality because... They have no personality because you have none. It is the truth. Well, there are other folks out there hearing us. Well, that's all right. He always sees everything we do. And he tells us our sins, doesn't he? Sure he does. I'll never forget what Evangelist Hartsfield, he would always say to me. He said, Brother Robert, be careful what you say. Just don't say it. Don't say it. He's going to give the enemy something to try you with. And he taught me that as a young, ignorant young man. He would tell me, shut your mouth. That's the way we talk to him. Shut your mouth, Brother Robert. Shut up. You don't know what you're saying. Shut up. I was glad he did me like that. It taught me so much. You all could not have handled him. I'm telling you. He was a tough man. Very tough. Shut your mouth. Shut up. You don't have anything to say, shut up. Yes, sir. And that's where I was, and when I responded to him, right, he gave me such a great, he gave me a good feeling. Let me be honest with you. He just gave me a good feeling. I would feel good because I knew what he was saying was right. And what did he do? It made him have more confidence in me. Sure it did. And see, that's the way this generation is. We don't see our ways. We don't see how the enemy, you understand, in order for you to get something established, you start with a little small thing and you build and you build and build until the deception becomes a reality. That's how you do it. So you start with a little small thing, keeps building. And so that's why people today don't trust Yahweh. Oh, I know I'm dealing with, can demons cast out demons, or do the Kiddushims have demons? We don't have demons, not the Kiddushims. You that are not right, you got every kind of unclean thing there is to be had in you. And it's revealing your personality and your attitude. So if I was sick, I certainly would want Shaul to pray for me. I know he prayed for Timotheah. He had to. He would get on his knees, Yahweh, help my God, brother. I could just see him there weeping. And yet, Timotheah, every now and then, one of the brothers would pass Shaul and say, well, you know, he was sick the last time I was there. His stomach. You tell me he didn't have power to lay hands? Yahweh wants us to trust him. He says, I've shown you so much, you still don't believe it. Did he show Israel a mighty sign? Did they believe him? They went right out and built them a God, didn't they? He healed. He brought them through. He set the plagues in Egypt, and they still don't believe. He said, you're so wicked, you're so adulterous, all you want is me for the fish and the loaves. And now you get that, you turn your heart away from me. He's going to have a people that's going to trust him in life. You're going to trust him in death. I believe in the healings of Yahweh. I believe in laying hands. I believe in praying for my Yahweh. But if he doesn't heal you, that doesn't mean that the effectual power prayer doesn't work. You understand? Let me move quickly because I want to get in a few more scriptures. He says here now, hallelujah, Yahweh. And where do I want to read? Let's go down to Timothy, yes. Timothy. 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy. And verse chapter 4. Same 2 Timothy now, chapter 4. And Shaul greets all the brothers and sisters there. He says this, Beth, Timotheah, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. Look at his kind gesture here. He said, first of all, salute Priscilla and Aquila. Tell them I love them. He said, also acknowledge the household of Onesiphorus. He says to them, look at this now, Erastus, he's there in Corinth. He said, but Trophimus, I have what? I have what? I have what? Say it, everyone. I have what? So in order for you to leave someone, you had to be with someone, right? If I left you here, I had to be with you, right? If I left you, I was with you. Is that right? He said, I have left at Malthus. Malthus what? Huh? Is that what he said? He left him there sick? Not that he knew of him sick. He said, I have left. Is that what he said? I have left. The same Shaul that they took handkerchiefs off his body and laid on the sick and they were here. I don't think we hear that. The same Shaul that he laid a little piece of apron on one and the demons cried out. He said, but Trophimus, I have left. I left it. Now, you think him being there with him, did he pray for him?
That's what it says in your rendition. Anyway, you look, he said, I have left in my altars what? Sick. I don't care what kind you got, it says that. I left him there. Why? Because I had to be about Yahweh's business. And although he was sick, I laid hands on him. I left praying cloths there. Yet he was sick. He had great infirmities. He was sick. Then what about the sword, Roberts? Come on, answer that, Benny Hinn. Are they greater than Shaul? No! They're greedy dogs, what they are. They're charlatans. And that's why this proliferation of this demonic power is being raised in the name of their false Jesus and their Christos. It has been proliferated today. And here's a man of Yahweh preached in the power of that name. And yet his faithful brother said he had to leave him there. The same Shaul now. They cut pieces of cloth off of him, off his apron. They sent it to other brothers and they were healed. Kephar just walked past the people and his shadow, they were healed. They were raised up. And here it is, Timothy, sick, and yet no healing. And here it is, Trophimus, he left him sick. He goes on to say, he said, look what he says to Timothy. He said, do your diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, and Pudent, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brothers, they greet you. He said, the master Yahshua HaMashiach be with your Ruah. The free unmarried love and favor be with you. So is so. So be it. May it be for fear. Now you understand the closing of that. He says, so is so. So it is. So it be it. I can imagine Paul having a great sighing in him because he knew the kind of brother Trophimus was, a faithful man. Yet he had to leave him there. You wonder if he began to doubt. I don't believe that. He knew that the end of all things were at hand, even at that time. Yahweh has done such great things for his house. He has shown us such a great work. He has given us a living Torah, a living truth. And we still do not believe him. He says, so it is, so it be. If you can come, I understand. If you cannot, I understand too. I had to leave Trophimus there because he said, I left. In order for you to leave someone, you have to be with him. And if I was sick somewhere, I certainly want that man by my side. If I was in a position whereby I needed some healing power, I love Sister Robert, but I'd rather have Shaul that he lay his hands on me. You understand? And yet he had to leave a brother there that was sick. He had to leave him there. How do these apologists answer that? Well, that was just to prove, it was just what it was. You try to explain away truth, you can't explain away Torah. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to explain it away. Well, that's just one account. Let me turn quickly to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Look at this account here. I want to read this. He says here, chapter 2, verse 19. Shaul says, but I trust in the Master Yahshua to send Timothy shortly to you. I want to send him to you, that he will come because it's important that he come. He said that I also may be of good comfort when I know your condition, when I understand how you all are and your condition. He said, for look at what he says now. Look what Shaul says. For I have no other like myself or no other like-minded. He said, there's no other one like me, but Timotheus. But yet he was sick. I have no other one like-minded who will genuinely care for your condition. Now that's what he is saying, who will genuinely look after you. We don't want no one to look after us. He said he will care for them. Now, well, I'm a man, I'm a woman, but he said he will care for you. Is that what he said? He will genuinely care for your condition. Look at verse 21. He said, for all seek their own agenda. They all seek their own. Not the things which are of Yahshua HaMashiach. We don't seek the things of Yahweh. He said, everyone is seeking their own. That you're in there. He said, but you know his record. That as a son with an Abba, he has served with me in the ministry, in the message. He has preached this truth. Therefore, I plan to send him shortly, so soon as I shall see how it goes with me. He said, I will send him as I understand how my condition, how my situations are. I will send Timotheus. I will send him. He said, but I trust in Yahweh that I also myself shall come shortly to you. Verse 25, he said, yet I thought it necessary to you for me to send Epaphroditus. Now look what he calls him. He said, my brother, my companion in labor, fellow soldier, and a messenger, who also attended to my need, that he took care of me. Now, not that many today will look after or have a heart for the true men of Yahweh. He said, took care of my need. For he longed for you all, and he was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. Now, my brothers and sisters, in order for that message to get to them, that he was sick, he wasn't sick 1 hour, and the next hour he was well. Do you hear that? So he had to be sick. It took days and weeks for a message to get to someone. Now this is the second letter. They had heard that he was sick. He says, then look at Shaul. He said, for indeed, he was sick even close to the death. He was so sick. But Yahweh had mercy on him. Now, he was just sick in our lives. How do I know that? Because he said, and not only on him, but on me also. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Shaul watched him as he tore with that great infirmity, that sickness that had wretched his body, that had handicapped him. And Shaul praying, he seeing nothing, he cried out. He said, Yahweh, what is wrong? There's no one that loves me like this man. No one cared for him like him. That's the truth. Those men cared for him. They did. He said, I send him to you more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. When he gets there, I will know that he is in better condition. I'll be less sorrowful. And you will rejoice because you will know that through this great ordeal and all of this affliction Yahweh brought him through, he endured like a faithful soldier. That's what we're going to have to endure. We're going to have to endure. The Kedushans have no demons. Christians, true, they have demons. They all have demons. I won't argue with any man on that. The Kedushans, no demons. They don't have powers of darkness in them. He said, receive him therefore in Yahshua with all gladness and hold him in high regard. Do you hold him in high regard? Now that's what Shaul told him. You respect him greatly. You receive him greatly. Hold him in a great esteeming. That's what he said. We're a wicked generation. We will disrespect. We'll dishonor. That's what we do. And I say to you, sisters, you have more of that trash in you than men. You would dishonor your husband. That's why you can talk to them in kind of way. Say what you want to. And it's trash. It's going to destroy you. And that's the truth. You speak to them without any conscience and say anything you want to. It ain't going to work. I don't care if you all get upset with me. It's not pleasing to Yahweh. He said, you hold him in great high esteem. Did Sarah hold Abraham in great esteem? She called him Lord. You think that doesn't bring a great strength to a man? It brings a strength to a man. When that strength comes to a man, he has the ability that he can overtake a giant. Who brought down Samson? Was he strong? Was Samson strong? Was he mighty? Well, who brought him down? A Malak? It was a woman. There's nothing like the strength that she imparts into to a man, not a virtuous woman. She gives him something. Jezebel takes from him. Now, you can identify yourself either way. Have you strengthened your man than your virtuous woman? You take from him, you're Jezebel. I don't care how you look, honey. You can have teeth white as that paper there. Pair of white. It don't mean nothing. You can have a body like an hourglass. That means nothing. The Hollywood scarlets have that. And they can't even find a husband. That's why all of them having babies by no husbands or anything. Just a bunch of Jezebels. That's all their whores and dogs. They defile the daughter of Yahweh. You shouldn't commit adultery, fornication. And Lamar was telling me yesterday, he stopped at a place. And this elderly woman, she was talking about a young girl's children she was keeping. The woman said to her, how old is the girl? She had 5 babies, 18 years old. I was reading this morning, a young girl in Italy raped a man. She was 14 years old. They said he raped her. She probably gave it to him. I'm not trying to be facetious.
The reason why, because his lawyer said, look, come on, let us reduce this man's sentence. And the reason they say that, because she, at 13, she had had more experience with men, twice her age, old men, young men. And what it was the mama's boyfriend that they had a little layouts together. She probably walked around that naked and the mama wasn't there and trying to show off her stuff to him. If the man raped, he's flat out wrong. So when the judge says, come on, this girl, she has a record. And so the men began, I guess, as soon as they came to court and began to testify, man, she, whoa. That's out of Yahweh. And so if a daughter of Zion, if she's a virtuous woman, she strengthened her husband. His character is made known amongst other brothers. Men discern things a little differently than you daughters of Zion. Do you understand? I'm telling you. They know who's doing right. They can understand that, whether you believe that or not. And so you don't talk back. Thank you. Say it again. All right, then. The rest of you won't talk back then. You don't talk back. Will you talk back to Yahweh? Will you talk back to Him? Yeah, you do it. We don't want this truth cutting to the bone. Get upset, don't we? But that doesn't change me. We don't want to cut into the bone. We don't want to see our filth. Show me Yahweh. I'll never forget what Evangel Hershey said to me that day. He said, shut your mouth, you know what to say, just shut up. And my youthful nature rose up at me. I was ready to, I got upset with him. I was mad. I was upset. Don't talk to me that way. I'll never forget when I looked right in his eyes, I said, oh, Evangel Hershey, whatever it takes, please tell me. I'll do it. I want to do right. Help me. And he laughed. And it was such a great relief. My heart was, I rejoiced. Oh, man. He wanted me a big old steak and potato. Man, he sat there and ate. What a wonderful thing he did. But he would tell me the truth. We just don't want to hear that. That's what the Torah does. That's why people don't want it. That's why I want the revelation of Torah. Man, who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous wife. For her price is far, not diamonds, but it's far above rubies. What a profound thing to be. And you get upset because someone tells you how to be virtuous. You're sick. It's a sick generation. You're sick. That's just it. That price of a virtuous daughter is greater than rubies. Nothing like it. Solomon had 900 plus over 1,000. He only found one. Only one that was virtuous heart was intrigued by her. And it wasn't a sex thing either. It was just being close to her. Just being her kindness, her ruah. That's what he wants to send me to be. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's what he's saying. Can I find a virtuous? Can I have someone that loved me, care for me? And he gave a man a wife that she's the symbolic nature of a pure bayet of Yahweh. And what the devil has done with you all is transformed your thinking, made it foolish, crazy. And you get upset because a man tell you that. It doesn't make you less. What he tries to show you is there's a great strength in your love for Yahweh and your honor for your head. That's what he shows you. And we get upset with that because the world has put that damnable trash in you. And you're trashy. That's what you are. Period. So when you find yourself a virtuous woman, your price is beautiful. Nothing that matches the price of a virtuous woman. And that's what the enemy does all he can to keep you from being that way. That's what he does. Keep you from being quiet. Studying to be quiet. Keeping your own house. He doesn't want you to do that. And I'm not going to change that for anyone. Torah teaches that. And I'm not upset. You get upset with me, that's your problem. I don't have a problem. You got a problem. I'm all right. He says, you receive him in verse 29. Receive him in Yahshua with all gladness. And hold him in high regard. Because the work of Hamashiach, he was near death. Because he was working now. Because he just forgot his own being. He was near death. Not regarding his life. For what reason? To supply me with what you could not. You couldn't help me like this man. He was near death. I can see why Shaul's heart was sorrowful unto death. But I tell you, I have a man thing. I love the beauty of brothers. And nothing like that. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious oil. I have a thing for men that I love being around men folk. You understand? I love to be around a man. Ain't nothing like being around a man. Not a boy. I love men. Boys are silly and charlie. But a man, you're dealing with a different creature. Nothing like that. You understand? And so Shaul, knowing this, he had a man's thing. Because he said, no one took care of me like him. Every need, he was there. His heart was with me. It's a great love. These elements the powers of hell have removed. They have. The people with Benny Hinn, they will give every nickel. I read articles how they meant people would empty their wallets and give tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And no pain was alleviated. Because Benny Hinn doesn't preach. He doesn't speak. He has a choreographic little thing, pictures shown, and he had these huge theatrical type strings that shown all these miracle healings, what he says, and they are lies. And then he gets up on the stage and he began to sing in his white Nehru suits, and he's dressed diamond rings that would blind you. Platinum watches that call. I told all the money I paid 13 for that one. No, that's it. He said, you don't spend no money on a watch. I said, that's for sure. Why? It tells the same time that platinum tell. You understand? $50,000, $60,000 watches and their wives dressed in, driving a car, probably $100,000 Bentleys and things of that nature. But the people will give every nickel to the tune of 80 some million dollars. And that's just what shows on records. And that's how they give. Because it's a wicked and an adulterous generation is always seeking after a sign. If you want to take advantage of anyone, can I tell you how to do it? If you want to take advantage of anyone, can I tell you how to do it? If you want to take advantage of anyone, can I tell you how to do it? If you want to take advantage of anyone, can I tell you how to do it? Will you believe me? You flatter them. That's what a con man does. He flatters one. Michael Brown was one of the conniest con artists in Charlotte. And before you knew it, he had you. You wonder why you gave me your shoes. And you barefooted. No one could do me like that. You're the one that he would take the shoes from. So you flatter them. That's what Shaitan does. He flatters. That's how you do. You flatter them. So you heal. This is not the work of Yahweh. I'm going to close here today. This is not the work of Yahweh. It's not Torah truth. The Torah deals with us, and the works of Yahweh will show everything that Yahweh does when he works in our lives. It will show us our depravity and our sinful ways and our corrupt ways. You shut your ears because you know I'm talking to you, and you don't like it. You get upset and you get offended. This is a generation that is easily offended because, first of all, it has no ahava. It has no love. That's why they're so easily offended. For one truly gets the true ahava of Yahweh, they're not easily offended. A woman said to me, because I went in the store, in the crazy, you can't, Baptist bookstores. I went there looking for a book, two books, as a matter of fact. It was a book on the, it was a word origin book that shows you the position of words and the place in Scripture. Yeah, I got that, all right, because I study things like that. And so the woman, I said to her, do you have a menorah? And so she looks at me and she said, we don't sell stuff for Muslims. We don't. I said, it's not for Muslims. It's Yiddish. It's okay. No problem. So I'm looking at the book and she comes back with this little pious look. I want to say, I'm sorry if I offended you. I said, I'm not offended that easy, woman. You offended me by bothering me. I don't need you to help me. I was more offended by her messing with me. Just go on. I know what to look for. I don't need you to show me what I need. I can read. I don't need you. I said, I'm not easily offended. You didn't offend me because you said that. Because she doesn't even know her God. If I can help you. I said, no, I don't need your help. I know what I'm looking for. So I don't need your help. Just leave me alone. Go on. Do something. So that didn't offend me because she said that. Not one bit at all. I wasn't perturbed because she said that. Undoubtedly, she was offended. Because I was a black man, she was Caucasian. Because I had a beard and the way I looked, she said, well, he's a Muslim then. Hmm. Huh. Is that so? So I'm not offended by that. Well, people don't think like that. You're ignorant. You say, your generation, people think like that all the time. That's how they think. That's the mindset of this generation. Because the white, black makes a difference at all. You understand? They think like that. They act like that. They talk like that. How do I know that? Because that's the way we think and that's the way we talk. We act quite foolish, don't we? These men are men that are raised up by hell. They're not the sons of Yahweh. They're not his children. May Yahweh bless you. Be encouraged. I am. I want to say to us all, I don't care who you are, young or old, you need to begin to work on your own personality and how you deal with people, interact. Because if you have a pleasant personality, I don't care who it's with. You're young ones because you're silly. You all can entertain each other because you're silly. You're adults because you're immature. You want those that are immature. And so you need a well-rounded attitude. What about you, Pastor? I can deal with them all. I was telling Deacon Bennett, I was at Harold's place the other day, and he said to me, Pastor Roberts, you got to work with me. I got to make a little money. That's what he said to me. You got to work with me. That's what he said. Help me out a little bit. That's what he said. Help me out a little bit. Just. I say, no, that's not the issue, my friend. It's not that I work with you. You work with me. You understand that? I said, you work with me. And can I tell you what? Even though he said that, he still gave me a better deal. What he said, he charged everybody this. He said, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I'll let you have for that. Is that all right? What about this, Pastor? I'll do this for you for that. I said, that's all right. He said, come to 200 of this. I said, all right, give you 200 of that. So what he said, I still gave him more. That's how you do things. That's how you do things. You understand? That's how you do it. So what he asked for, I gave more than what he asked for. He said, oh, okay, Pastor, appreciate that. I said, yeah. He said, work with him, didn't he? So did I do that? Gave a little more. Sure, I did. He was actually working with me. He was telling me to work with him. He went through a great ordeal back here just recently. Who do you think he's going to call me, Pastor Robin? This and I got that. I want to talk to you. 2 weeks ago, I said, well, I'll be there to see you. And so you began to work on your attitude and your personality. When you have a true personality, I don't care who you are, it is congenial. It works with any age group. Some of you all are so ignorant and so dumbfound. You can't be taught anything. And you don't want nobody to teach you. That's an ignorant person. When you don't want nobody to teach you anything. You can shut your eyes and be blind. That's all right, because you are blind. You don't have to hear because you're dull of hearing. And you don't have the ability to hear. And we don't want to hear that. That's what's wrong with this generation. That's the problem with it. Well, you can't tell me. Well, Shaul, he told those brothers and sisters there. He said, I'm going to send this brother. I'm going to send Timotheus. I'm going to send Trophimus. I'm glad to leave him. But he's going to come. He did that, didn't he? That's this generation doesn't want to hear. And the young ones are so ignorant, so stupid, they think they know and they don't know. They have no experience in life. They're so dumb. And you parents, because you are so shallow, you're not willing to see your mistakes and your error. And you don't want those things to be accentuated. And that's the problem with this generation. You understand? That's all right. Some of those ball players, the ones, old coach, now he proves himself to be a winner, Coach Brown. He takes over the New York Knicks. Now, what a celebrating team, the New York Knicks. Well, he said, not the type of ball players I want. So they got this one ball player, he wants the ball home and shoot and all. He said, nah, he doesn't work in the system. Now, you think this ball player never won anything, but this coach has won. He knows how the system works, doesn't he? So I would take you listen to the coach. Coach said, come on, work on your threes. Work on your dribble with your left hand. Just tie that left hand, right hand behind your back. That's what he was doing our day. If you dribble all the way to the right, you come always to the right, they make you put that hand behind your back, and you have to dribble with the left. Bam, bam. So at a stage, when I played basketball, you had to learn to dribble with both hands. That's why I can shoot with both hands. I can dribble with both hands. I can take your left. I can't do it like I used to. Get home, my knees. But my knees were hurting the other night from that. But in my days, boy, I could take you either way. Pull up from the left, pull up from the right. Because we learn how to play with both hands. Learn how to lay the ball with both hands. They don't teach that today. And the coaches were tough. Put it behind your back. Put it there. Just dribble. And you had to dribble more. Somebody taking the ball from that's frustrating, isn't it? So you had to learn how to guard that ball. Nobody take the ball from you. You had to learn how to. So you had to learn all that. So we need to learn how to play team ball. Hey, but one team. That's it. One. And the coach always shows our weaknesses. Why? Because every coach is subject to the owner, isn't it? So Yahweh owns us all, doesn't he? May Yahweh bless you. We bless you all that are listening on the live stream. We bless you all. Bless you, good. We bless you, Brother Nathan there, Nathan Hill in Houston. He wrote an article. I'd like to read it, but I won't read it today. I'll read it next week. Beautiful article that he wrote to post on our website. So we bless you, Brother Nathan, you that are gathered there in that room with him. We bless you all. I hope that the message was some strength to you. We certainly hope that it bless you. Bless you, Brother Mike and Sister Michelle and Brother Alex. I used to say little Alex, but she wrote me and said that he's 20 years old. I was thinking that they were about 35 years, like Brother Dale's age. You're 35, 36, something like that. But anyway, I was thinking that they were young, 33, 34, but they were not in that age group. So Alex is a young man. Bless you, Brother Alex. They're very faithful. They're kind. They're gifts. And they send tremendous gifts when they send. And I bless them for that. I don't say that for flattery, brother and sister. I say that that Yahweh strengthen your heart. I do. May Yahweh bless you all. Come on, Brother Patrick. Let us sing to Yahweh. I know you all get offended with me. That's all right, though. You tell me, Hannah, you ever get upset with me? Huh? You get upset with me? Say it loud. Do you kiss me after that? When she gets so mad with me sometimes, she give me a kiss. That's all right. If she get upset with me again, do I slap your hair sometime? How do I do it? You can just hit it like that and she'll cry. You still love me? Let us love one another. Come on, Brother Pat. You all that are gathered, let us sing together. As we sing this song here today, Brother Michael, Sister Michael, and Brother Alex, Brother Sister Heath there in Pickerton, Canada, we bless you all. Let that be love. Come on, Brother Patrick.
Be love, share it among us.
You that are listening that we don't know who you are, we bless you.
Yeah, I lie.
Bless you, Sister Tucker.
Your love, sweetness, calls us your way to arrive. Give us a friend, understanding. Brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let that
come on and grab your neighbor's hand and see that.
Let there be love shared among us.
I bless you all that have participated. This gathering, this Shabbat, you pray for the works here that you always will be done. We thank you all for your gifts, Brother David. Morning. Bless you, my brother. May Yahweh bless you and strengthen you for your faithful giving for the work of Yahweh here. Now, yes.
Give us a fresh understanding, a brother. Love that is real, so let there be love shared among us.
Come on, look in your neighbor's eyes. Come on.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Time, all of y'all. To you, Brother Alex.
So let there be love.
I sing that to you.
Share it among us. Let there be love in our life.
I love you, young man. Never met you, but I do love you.
Sweetest house, just your way. to arrive. Give us a fresh understanding, brotherly love that is real, so that there be love shared among us. Let there be yours love. For this day we do bless you, our Abba. We pray your strength upon the house of Israel. We do pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. You declare that you will bless those that love Jerusalem. So we pray for the strength and the shalom of Jerusalem, for the city of our Abba. Bless your people scattered throughout the nations of the world. Brother David Manning, bless him, I pray, and give him strength. Touch my precious brother there in St. Louis, and cause his heart to rejoice this day. Cause him to know that you will work all things according to your counsel. Bless you for him, Yahweh. His faithful gifts and given. He does it so faithfully, Yahweh. Bless him, I pray. And strengthen his heart. We thank you for all things this day. Go with us all. Give us the rest of the day. Bless them all, I pray, your people. Bless our enemies, we do pray. Bless the work of your hand with every brother and sister. And again, bless Pastor Babu, forgive me, Yahweh, and Elder Martin there in Kenya. Bless Pastor Babu in India. Bless them all, I pray. In Yahshua's name, and all the Kedushim said, hallelujah, Yahweh.